Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 32 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I have Mike Hilberger from Shank Brothers Barbecue in Brisbane, Australia. I got referred to him by Jess Pryles from Hardcore Carnivore. Thank you, Jess, so much. It was just unbelievably interesting and funny. I think I laughed more than I've laughed at almost any of my interviews so far. But he has a wealth of knowledge, and he and Shank Brothers team, they won Aussie Barbecue Heroes, which was a barbecue reality show. They won that in Australia, and that sort of propelled him further into fame. But he was making his way early on in the barbecue circuit in Australia, and we talk about how the meats are different and how things have changed about the cooking styles and what he, and he also has a new show that's coming out on Travel Channel called Planet Barbecue, which you have to check out. I think it's going to be pigeonholed with Andrew Zimmern's show. I think it might be right after, but check that out for sure. I'll put a link to that.
And if you get a chance, please subscribe. You don't want to miss out. I'll be adding at least 2 to 3 of these per week. You can check me out online at Kevin's BBQ Joints. I also have a website, kevinsbbqjoints.com. I also have a YouTube channel with lots of barbecue joint visits, interviews with barbecue personalities, chefs at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. Thanks so much. Enjoy.
How are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you, buddy?
I am fantastic. So what time is it there?
So it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And that's on Friday, and so it's 10 p.m. here in Los Angeles, so it's the day before.
Yeah, or Fry-yay, as we like to call it.
You call it Fry. How is Fry-yay? I haven't been there yet, so how is it?
It started for me at a little meeting at a local craft beer bar at 10 o'clock in the morning, so... Oh.
That's not bad.
Good start to the day. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great start to the day. So I want to hear about your history and how you've gotten to where you are right now. But what was your day like today? What's a usual day for you? Or is there a usual day for you?
There's no usual day for me. I'm kind of self-employed over about 3 or 4 different jobs. So I've obviously got the Shank Brothers involvement, and then there's also my thing that I've done for a lot of years, which is a photographer / DOP director. So
okay.
Shooting stuff for advertising industry.
Oh, wow.
And I also make dill pickles under the Picklehead banner.
I was going to ask about Picklehead. I had heard about it, but I wanted to, pickling is incredible. I'm fascinated by it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's a real love of mine. That goes back to my Czech heritage.
Okay.
Back in the day, you know, so I really sort of, I love doing that. And my wife's an antique dealer. You might see some of the junk behind me.
So, I see. It doesn't look like junk to me. It's
like fun. So, yeah, I like to go on her picks and pick out some of the more blokey stuff, you know?
Oh, very cool. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. sounds like you have an...
So never a dull moment, definitely.
you have an interesting life that you've carved out for yourself.
Yeah. Right now,
huh? That's excellent. So how did you get started? Was your family into barbecue? And were you born in Brisbane?
Yeah, so I was born in Brisbane. My folks came out in 1968 from the Czech Republic.
Okay.
When they got invaded by Russia.
Okay, it was during that time. Okay.
So it was that time. So they got out, did the whole, you know, refugee camps for months, and then they finally got the choice to come to Australia, and really thankful they did. I came along a few years later.
Okay.
But yeah, they always had a big kind of wood-fired culture, and as long as I can remember, they were always cooking over wood. And so that paired with the fact that I got a pickle as a teething toy as a child, set me on this path for sure. And you know, I always think the fact that I've had burger in my last name, well, you know, that doesn't help me.
You were predestined for all of this.
Absolutely.
Even if you tried to go off this track, you probably would be right back where you are.
It pulls you back in, definitely.
It does. It's definitely the Godfather. So then when did you get a love for barbecuing on your own? I know that you had won
Aussie Barbecue Heroes.
Aussie Barbecue Heroes, yes. So when was,
yeah,
but prior to that, were you cooking with friends, or were you, did you have your team already set?
Well not at all. And okay. And it all kind of really stemmed around my very close friend Ralphie Barnett and a pig's head.
Oh.
And that's how it all started.
Okay, we can leave that ambiguous, or I would love to know more.
Yeah, let's just, no. So So, yeah, one day he's invited me over. He knew, you know, I'm a bloke. I love meat. And we'd spend meetings, you know, we'd sort of work together and we'd spend meetings chatting about stuff and barbecue. And he's like, you got to come over and check out. I've got this thing called the Big Steel Keg. And being a fan of beer, anything that mentions keg is, you know, you've got my attention. And so I rock over one day and he cracks the lid on this thing and it was like a theatrical moment. All this smoke came out and there was this pig's head sitting. And, you know, I'd grown up on offal and lamb brains and eating tongues and all sorts of things, very broad palate. So to me, I was just like, that looks freaking amazing. Let's dig in. It had this incredible, you know, the red color from the smoke. And so we tore it apart and got to talking. And right about that time, the barbecuing competition scene in Australia was taking off. And we'd seen a couple of videos trying to get people involved in a competition down at Port Macquarie. We thought, you know, let's give this a crack. You know, let's have a go at it. And we started off just with real basic kind of setup and everything, and like everyone else, we were in there right at the beginning, and it's just grown, and it's been just such a wonderful journey to see where it's grown and where we've come, and where all the people that came up with us through the ranks have come, and it's been a real renaissance of barbecue, because barbecue in Australia was predominantly just a no real smoke flavor or anything, just heat, usually gas. And just burning things to within an inch of their lives. And,
now
there's a real appreciation for, you know, the stuff that we do, the low and slow and hot and fast and just done well, reverse sear, all that stuff. It's, you know, it's a renaissance. It really is.
At the beginning, when you first were doing the competitions, were they similar to U.S. competitions, or was it something like it was loosely based and you kind of had your own meat set? Could you cook on any kind of grill or offset? Like, were there specifics?
Yeah, look, definitely we had our own governing body, the Australasian Barbecue Alliance.
Now, I've talked to Jess Prowse about that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So very much like laid down the law, and they were good laws. I mean, it was all solid fuel, no gas, right? None of that stuff. So had to be charcoal or wood fired, and the parameters were very tight. And I think it's great that they set that down
The
get-go, because it's built a really good foundation for the competition scene now.
How did you do in that first competition, and how was that?
Yeah, terribly, terribly. we didn't do well at all. We didn't go in with expectations. And for a long time, the barbecue event stuff was just fun. And then probably in the last 2 years, we got pretty serious about it and we started seeing really great results as well. We also have a real kind of, you know, it's not all about standing on the podium. We really believe there's a big mentorship thing to go on.
That's great.
Teaching people to get excited about it, get into it, you know. It's not about the big novelty checks and everything. It's when we see someone who tries that barbecue flavor for the first time and you can just see it blows their mind, like, that to us is like the biggest reward ever.
That's fantastic. That epiphany too. Like, I remember the epiphany for me when I had real barbecue coming from Los Angeles. We did a lot of the grilling. We did a lot of the burning in my dad.
Well, the Santa Maria stuff, right? Yeah. You know, you guys have got it there. Good history.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a good history, but it's different than maybe you'd say Central Texas or even in North Carolina with the whole hog. Like, it's a different beast, so to speak.
Yeah.
So when I had barbecue for the first time, it was fascinating. And then I think also too, like, you guys are ambassadors essentially for barbecue for Australia and for the whole region, right?
Well, we're really honored to. You know, we haven't really gone out and looked for that role, but it's kind of happened just organically. And, you know, we got voted like in the Hall of Fame for the ABA for the first time. And I think it's because we do run classes and we're very open. You know, there are teams now that lock themselves into their marquees and don't allow a lot of, you know, people to see what's going on. We've always been really open about, and because that comes from our love of engaging with the public. And you know, it's, if you want to build a great following, you the people that are out there that don't necessarily compete, but just, you know, want to have a little sort of taste of that action, you know, and that's where it's at for us.
That can't hurt you at all. That can only help.
It can only help, and we found that it only helps. I mean, we we've got a very fierce following of
for sure.
You know, Shankies, and everyone's our brother and sister, you know what I mean?
Were you the Shank brothers to begin with for that first competition?
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of just started, the game came about by Ralphie and I sitting across a boardroom table waiting for some, you know, clients to come along, and we're just blah, 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 barbecue, barbecue, barbecue. And my producer was sitting next to me, and she just kind of piped up and she said, "What are you guys, the freaking Shank brothers or something?" And we just kind of looked at each other like, hey, we might be able to use that, you know. Got it assigned an agreement, you know, it's now all legal and nice.
Oh, that's okay.
It just kind of evolved naturally like that. You know, it was great that someone found it offensive and we took it and ran with it.
When did you start to realize that this could be something more than just you and a friend going to these competitions? Like, when did you start to get recognized within the community? You look the same. You were getting recognized to begin with. Sure. You stand out in a good way.
Because we come from that advertising background, and me being photographer, Ralphie being creative as well, we've always produced what we think is pretty engaging content with people out there. And then I think definitely being on the show, Aussie Barbecue Heroes, opened us up to a lot more of the general public rather than just that niche barbecue community. And even though that was 3 years ago, they still replay that every Christmas time, that series. Great. So we always get that little height of recognition happens again. But really exciting news is that Ralphie and I are just working on a whole other project now for TV, and it's with the Travel Channel, where within weeks there's going to be a pilot being shown on air, and it's all about barbecue. So we're really stoked about that.
Oh, that's so great. Is that going to air here?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, definitely. Is that going to air here in the United States too?
This is an exclusive for you, Kevin. This is going to air in the States. They're looking at it as a companion show for Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern, which is really exciting.
I was watching that last night.
And there you go. And so hopefully you'll follow on and keep watching us. It's called Planet Barbecue. Okay. And we go around different places looking at traditional barbecue cultures and just tasting and trying and cooking with them. And it's amazing.
So are you traveling around the world then doing that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my dream.
It is living the dream. Absolutely.
It is. And it is so fascinating to see that there is that culture, that barbecue culture, the cooking on live fire. Like it's predominant. It's prevalent everywhere. It's something that it's part of our DNA.
It absolutely is. You just know the minute that fire stands up, mm-hmm. everyone, male or female, are just mesmerized by that. It is deep in us. And I think, you know, that all that protein, that excess protein, help make our brains big and smart. And I think it's because of that. Otherwise, we'd still just be like banana munchers hanging in trees, right? So we're smart because we ate meat. So.
Exactly. I don't quite get the whole vegan thing. I don't know.
Each to their own. We actually just last weekend, we have a great craft beer festival here in our hometown in Brisbane called Brews Vegas. Brisbane's sometimes called Briz Vegas, so it's Brews Vegas. And the event is the big chili cook-off at a cafe here called Kettle and Tin. Okay. And a little bit controversial, but it was a vegan chili that won it this year. And the guys, it's a bar called Netherworld. They've got all these vintage arcade games there and strong vegan philosophy. And myself, Ralphie, and a very well-known wine writer here, Tony, were the judges, and we had to give it to it. They just knocked it out of the park. It was amazing.
If it was great, then what could you do? You can't help it.
If it had pulled pork in it, would have been a heap better, but, you know, it was good.
Some good grounds for the lawyer. I know, but I'm sure it was. If it was to your palate, obviously I trust that it was amazing.
I'm just ducking the tomatoes now as they're coming.
What differentiates? I know that you guys are using different woods. What woods? I know that I had heard one time it was a wood that sounded like it was ironwood or something, or a heart like a metal wood, or
yes, iron bark.
Iron bark. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a native hardwood.
Okay.
Probably like very similar to your mesquite.
Okay.
Some or hickory, even like that. So, but it's our native one. Very dense, produces great heat and a really great blue smoke as well. But,
oh, wow.
You know, we're big fans of our cherry wood here, but we've also got a lot of really great native things. Things like Banksia cones.
Oh, what's that?
So there's a plant called the Banksia bush, named after Joseph Banks, who was a early plant biologist.
Okay.
And this thing looks kind of like a dookie with little openings on it, if you think of it that way.
Okay.
And but when you throw it on the barbecue and use it for smoke, it always produces beautiful thin blue smoke. Oh, and wow. Just the scent is of the Australian bush is how I can best,
okay,
you know, define it. It's just a really unique Australian smell. But we also love using, like I said, the cherry woods, you know, apricot, plum, all that stuff for those more delicate meats. But yeah, definitely ironbark is a real go-to. Otherwise, you know, wine barrel or rum barrel staves, they're oak. Plus, they've got that extra soak of that good flavor in there. They're a real favorite too.
So do you guys have, is there a species of oak in Australia?
Yeah, there's silky oak. There's we've got white oak here. There's a number of different oaks here. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that was something that was just, I wish I knew, and I plan to know more about woods. I'm fascinated. I go to wood piles and I film giant wood. It's just, it's in my blood, but I don't know enough.
And that's one of the things as a barbecue, right? You really have to like tweak that. You're starting to identify what the woods are. When you start off, wood is wood, but you just learn after a while how to identify it. It's through the bark and how it weighs and all that sort of stuff. And that's one of the great journeys you can go on as a barbecuer.
Oh yeah, and learning how to properly feed the fire and how to get enough oxygen. There's so many facets. Yeah. What do you guys cook on right now? What are you guys cooking on generally?
Yeah, we definitely have a bunch of different stuff. We always have. Up until recently, we've been using a reverse flow cabinet smoker.
Okay.
And we've had great success with that, competition-wise and with catering and everything. But it was a bit of a monster, so we've all kind of downsized. And we're thinking for the next competition we do, we're going to do the complete antithesis and probably try and cook every protein on a Weber Go Anywhere. Just to you know, show that you don't need a $40,000 twin-axle pit to be successful. That you can have a red hot go at it with a basic $100 barbecue. So
I think that's great. No, that's phenomenal. I think it's important for people to know that because not everyone can drop $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on something. They just can't. It's just.
This is right.
Yeah, yeah. I use the Weber Smoky Mountain Bullet as one of my first smokers that I used, and it wasn't that expensive, but it did the job. And I've talked to a number of people that everyone has to start on something.
And you still see episodes of Pitmasters and the guys are still out on Smoky Mountains and drums and stuff like that. And I love that. You know, it's, you know, a lot of the times the pit is like a hammer. It's not so much about the hammer, but the guy swinging it, right?
For sure.
So, yeah.
And what is the difference? What kind of meats do you guys, like you guys, are the briskets different? Are the ribs different? Are things are different, I know, but like how are they different?
They're different. I mean, and the differences are becoming less and less as time goes on.
Okay.
You know, 2 or 3 years ago, if you asked for a brisket here typically was being used for dog food or sausages.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there has been like a complete paradigm shift now, and everyone's looking at those secondary cuts, and they are, you know, getting the respect they deserve, and they're also now getting the money they deserve, I guess, too. Well, you know, our internet is only one rung above Kazakhstan, so I really do apologize for my pixelated appearance.
No, at times I think that my internet here is just like Kazakhstan, and that's actually too. It is. I use Skype, and it's not the best way to do this. It's the only way that I know that has a proper way to record it well.
Sure,
but it's still amazing. Skype's been around for a long time, and it feels very archaic. I don't know, but actually the fact that you and I can see each other and talk.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Like it's like 10 years ago, we couldn't have done this for sure. Yeah. Even maybe 7 years ago. I don't know. So
yeah, definitely.
so the cuts,
So at, when you when in the beginning, we'll jump back just a second, just in case it cut off. The when you first in competition, so then so brisket, were you able to get brisket at the time, or were you able to get the proper ribs, a proper spare, like either spare ribs or were you baby backs? What were you getting? Were butchers, were you buying for butchers or wholesalers or how?
Yeah, so we really only had access to our local butchers at the time, and of course a lot of that stuff just those cuts weren't known here, so it was a real struggle. We'd try and find pictures on the internet and show them on our phones. It was a real learning curve, and we did like make a connection with one of our local butchers, Meat at Billy's, and
Okay.
he really got behind the whole scene. He was really keen to learn. So it was us and another couple of teams that we just started getting through that and working through. And we'd go out the back and sit with them and work with them and watch them cut
Oh,
a
that's
belly
great.
out to make sure that we get a proper rack with the right amount of meat and all that sort of stuff going. So yeah, it's been a real learning process for everyone. But now all those cuts are kind of like de rigueur, and now walk into that shop and ask for a pack of cut brisket, or you just want the point or the flat, or however four or five ways you want your pork ribs. Everyone's across it now.
How cool is that you were I'm jumping back to the being part of the forefront, but that's really neat. Like even 10 years from now, looking back, it's going to be exciting to know that you were because the barbecue tradition, like you said, wasn't part of the Australian culture. So it's amazing that it's really cool what you've done. I'm fascinated because it's for us it's a lot older. But I do talk to people like even Ray Lampe from like Dr. Barbecue. He talked about the early days when they would send in a postcard to enter a contest and hoping to get it. Like it was just it was very it was it was archaic to the nth degree. But you so now when you see it, like there's you're, a lot of people have, you're one of the forefathers of it, but even though you'd probably it wasn't intentional, but it must be a cool feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just happened to be at the right place and the right time. We all had the passion for it, and yeah, we just want to just keep driving that. We really love that creative side of it. We don't want to just sit on our laurels, and that's kind of why maybe this year we're pulling back a little bit from the competition side, because it's a little bit like Groundhog Day for us, where we don't really have anything more to prove. And it's kind of just jumping through the same hoops, and so we really want to now go and try and tackle those flavors. Those like, we're part of Asia here in Australia, so we really want to pay some homage to those Asian flavor
Perfect.
barbecue profiles, and really just play with stuff. And wait, someone at home waiting 12 hours to cook something really isn't a realistic expectation.
For sure.
So I think the more we can create amazing flavors and dishes for people that find it really accessible and can knock it out in a short amount of time, the more people are going to get cooking over wooden and charcoal. It's all about Australia's got this huge gas culture, and gas to us is a four-letter word. We want to eliminate that.
No, I
We
agree.
want to really get as many people into their Weber kettles, and you find them on the side of the road here at cleanup days. So pick them up, use them, love them, get into it, get some flavor in your meat, and that's what we're trying to show people about.
That's so great. So what are your class are your classes sort of are they, do they come back to that? Are they when you give your class are you trying to so tell me about your classes and how long have you been doing those classes?
So classes we've been doing for a couple of years, and they range from intensity, from dedicated to like full on low and slow nerds, right down to, like I just said, the kettles you find on the side of the road and you just want to learn. And that's the ones that I really love doing, is where you're getting people to throw away the gas bottle, come in, light up a chimney, get some coals lit, get in touch with your inner caveman again, and just cook some fantastic meat.
So how many people are usually in your classes, and how often do you offer them?
I like to keep them pretty intimate, so sort of 10 to 15 people. Like to do some real one-on-one, a lot of serious tasting. No one leaves sober or hungry, believe me.
That's awesome. How often are there's one coming up? Do you have one coming up in April? Is that?
Yeah, so I'm actually heading up to Darwin, which is in the Northern Territory, the very northernmost point of Australia. I've never been, so
Oh.
it's really exciting. So I'm doing a pickle class and a barbecue class up there. Oh. And then the following month in May, we're doing a pickle and barbecue class here in our hometown in Brisbane again. So
tell me about the pickles. How did that, I know, other than you teething with a pickle when you were a child, what was, you had it as a, what was, so how long have you've had the pickle business, or is it a, it's a business, right? You're, are you selling pickle retail?
Yeah.
I apologize for not knowing, but that's this. I read about it offhand, like, and so I it was on my notes.
So the pickle stuff really started. It was in 2012. My wife and I went to the States, mm-hmm. our first visit over there, and we hit New York, and it was, I was like just smashing a different jar of pickles every day. I was just in seventh heaven, and finally, like within like about 4 or 5 days before we were about to go home, it dawned on me that I was going to be deprived of all this kind of selection, and I'll be back to our mean, measly 2 or 3 brands that we had here. And I was like, I've kind of learned enough from being here to give it a crack myself. So of course, as every good son does, I hit my mum up for a recipe, and she of course had a good Czech recipe for pickles. I modified it somewhat to suit, you know, our Australian kind of climate and conditions.
Okay.
And I just started making them for myself, and then, you know, I'd take the odd Instagram photo, and someone would say, "Hey, make me a jar," and a cat got wind of it, and then someone else got wind of it, and it kind of grew from there. And I bootlegged pickles for about 3 years.
Nice.
Just totally, like, you know, doing it out of our kitchen at home, fully illegal, you know, like, and then a little magazine called Gourmet Traveler got a hold of me and decided to do a story on our pickles. And I thought, well, I better get legal before that hits the newsstands. And we did it. It's the best thing ever. We now sell pretty much all up and down the east coast of Australia. We do catering size quantities. And it's really just my wife and myself. One day a fortnight, we make a batch. We go through 70 or 80 Ks of cucumbers, so probably about 150 pounds of cucumbers in a batch, and that sort of satisfies our immediate circle of bars and restaurants, and it's all super local, and we're not trying to take over the world, we're just trying to make a bloody good pickle. So
that's great. So is there anywhere in the States you can get them, or is there any way I could send you a check and or send you a PayPal? Do they travel?
They sadly, they don't travel without refrigeration.
That's not going to work. Yeah,
It's not going to. But that is the dream, to sell pickles to America. It'd be like selling ice to Eskimos. one day it will happen, I'm sure.
When I come to Australia, then I'll have some pickles.
I will hook you up royally.
I love pickles just almost not as much as I love barbecue, but close, very close.
I'm just salivating talking about them right now. So.
I know. I have like these weird dreams of like going to like pickle factories and filming them like making the pickles. Like I just love. And it's a great companion too for the. Like the savoriness of barbecue, like it's a perfect
foil for barbecue, just cutting through that fat and everything. And like you say, my favorite show on cable is like How It's Made, and I wait there for the pickle factory or the jalapeno factory or whatever to see how the big boys do it, because we're all totally by hand, you know, every aspect of what we do is all handmade, so there's no mechanization at all. But that's part of the charm, I guess.
Well, I'm extremely proud of you. That is just the best. That is so great. So what's coming up for you, other than like Planet Barbecue's coming up, and then that's, so when would we possibly see that? Would that be something like so you're doing the pilot, so that's, it's a little off, right? It's a little ways off.
So well it's actually just in final stages of post-production now, so we would be expecting sometime within the next month or two that it's going to start to get some slots on TV in America. And, of course, it's all up to how it rates and how it performs. And hopefully the Australian accent still holds some gravitas over there. And,
it still does. You know, I was actually like thinking earlier today, I'm like, I wonder if there'll be things I can't understand, because although we speak the same language, we don't speak the same language. I have a friend whose uncle is a bobby in London, and he'll call, and like for 10 minutes I can't understand a thing he's
that's hard work, right? Yeah, you have to tune into that stuff.
Yeah, then after a while, like all of a sudden it's speaking. Like after, yeah, it's good. So then do you have any aspirations of eventually opening up a restaurant, or the world that you're in, do you enjoy that enough that
it's, you know, it's a very different story over here in Australia to America as far as all that stuff goes. Our labor costs are a lot bigger. Okay. Just our bricks and mortar costs are a lot bigger. The town that we're in, which is probably only like the third or fifth or fourth biggest city in Australia, our premier retail district, the rents are dearer than the Champs-Élysées in Paris. So,
oh, my Lord.
I know where I would rather have a barbecue joint, and it's not here. It would be, you know, serving on baguettes. But
gotcha.
but yeah, so there are definite challenges here for that. And but you know what, we're really starting to get into a bit more of a catering mode, doing some weddings, doing parties, things like that. And again, it all comes down to that personal interaction with people, mm-hmm. and just being able to really relate. We've got that amazing relationship with our farmers. Like, we're real believers in ethically sourced animals. So the pigs, the sheep, the goats, the beef we get all pretty much come from one guy, Tim, who's a farmer, Eggcetera Farms. It's total free range. We just did an event a couple of weeks ago with a local brewery.
Okay.
And we made a beer with them. We grilled off 50 kilos of peaches over coal.
Oh.
And then that went into the beer brew.
Oh.
We made an IPA, and it was an astounding beer. It was a great beer. Clear, crisp, and it had that real peachy hit at the end. And then all the spent grain from that, which was probably 300 or 400 kilos of grain, went and fed two pigs, which we then cooked on the launch night for that beer.
Oh,
so that sort of stuff, full circle. And you know, these pigs live, they only have one bad day in their life, and they don't even remember that day. So, you know what I mean? So they're the highest welfare animals. The farmer loves them. They basically get patted and just loved and roam in long paddocks amongst grass and eat worms and roll in mud. And, you know, we're real believers that happy animals are tasty animals.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
No doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's nice to hear. And that's, I think that more people are starting to kind of lean towards that direction. And it makes me happy that.
Yeah. And we were blessed to have the farmer came down to that event. So all the people that paid for this event to eat that meat and everything got to have some FaceTime with him and talk to him. And
that's genius.
Yeah, and that was a real buzz.
That's huge. That's yeah. Big. That's really big.
Yeah.
So what you're doing now, and like, it's almost like how we have people do a lot of pop-up events at breweries, or they'll do events like,
exactly.
So you don't really need to open a restaurant, and you have a restaurant essentially. It's just you're popping up places and you're doing catering.
And our restaurant moves around the place. We've got some really great, you know, there's a venue called Wandering Cooks, which is like an incubator for small businesses. And it's where we make our pickles. It's basically commercial kitchens you can hire.
Oh,
they have
a great
bar, a great space. So we've done a ton of pop-ups there and classes there. And it's just, yeah, there's a really great scene here in town. And
I'm putting together these barbecue guides, barbecue city guides, where I'm talking to barbecue experts and people that are knowledgeable about barbecue in certain places. And I'm doing one in London, one in Toronto, and I'm doing across the United States with like Daniel Vaughn and people like that.
Amazing.
But I wanted to, if someone was coming to Australia for a day, like not a day, I guess most people wouldn't, but it's like they had a day or 2 days, what would are there places that you would recommend that they go meat-wise and barbecue-wise?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, one of my favorite all-time places, and it's not just because it's stumbling distance from home, but it's called Brewski Bar.
Okay.
And those guys have a proper smoker in there. They've got like 11 taps of craft beer that's continuously changing. They just got voted one of the 10 top bars in Australia.
Oh, cool.
It's an amazing place. And we've also just had a crab house open in town, St. James Crab House.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm a huge fan of seafood.
So am I.
And that place does it, you know, probably the closest to what I've had in the States. So really on par. Yeah.
Are there places like, say, you, if you, do you ever travel to Perth or to Sydney or to any other, are there any other places that are there other places in Australia doing it right barbecue wise that you know of?
Pretty much every state in Australia now has caught the barbecue fever, and okay. if you don't find a bespoke restaurant, then definitely there'll be a bar or a brewery that has a smoker that's producing that sort of stuff. So you're really spoilt for choice now.
Okay, so that's definitely a good thing. Oh, excellent.
Absolutely.
So do you think you'll be in Brisbane forever? Or do you think you'll ever move to the States or move?
Look, I always tell my wife, you know, I would happily, like, I love LA, you know, myself. We've got our godchildren are over there, so we visit reasonably regularly. And I really love the place. I love the beachside suburbs, you know, around Playa del Rey, that sort of place. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see myself hanging out in the States for some time, but for us, we really like the idea of, you know, in our later years, retiring down to Tasmania.
Okay.
It's kind of like having a real booming time for wines and whiskeys and food and all that stuff at the moment. They have the cleanest air, the cleanest water on the planet. You know, there's some amazing producers down there. So it'd be really exciting to tap into that and get a part of that culture.
And is the cost of living high there, or is it pretty low still?
It's probably the most accessible it is in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's probably because it is a little bit isolated, but all that is kind of a moot point now in the digital era. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you could do anything anywhere, but there was a time where a lot of places in Australia seemed a lot more affordable to people in the United States. But now I've heard that because of the population, and also a lot of people are coming from other countries to live in Australia. So I think that's probably doesn't help your situation.
Well, and if the trade embargoes had affected us, the tariffs, I mean, on metals had affected us, then perhaps you would have had a lot cheaper here. But at the moment, we're still friends, so it's all good. You know, you still get a reasonable exchange rate. It's,
yeah, so far. Till next week, are you saying?
Yeah.
Or till a tweet in about 5 hours that could change everything.
We do follow with great enthusiasm, let's put it that way.
That's funny. My mom has a couple of friends that she's met through Instagram, through her dog's Instagram, that live in Australia, and they follow with the same enthusiasm that you follow with. So it's fascinating to us. None of us expected any of this.
I don't think anyone did, right?
Yeah. So that's why I got you to say focused on the barbecue and focused on the pickles. And
I think you're very wise.
So what else? Is there anything else that people should know about? I'm going to put links to everything you have. Is there something that people maybe from the United States might not know? That
yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've I've talked your head off.
No, so.
I don't know if you had a chance to come up. I don't feel like I've come up for air. No. I don't know if you managed to get a word in edgewise.
No, I have. I think there's sometimes I feel like I'm talking too much. But no, I really do appreciate and you taking the time, and I'm glad that the third time was a charm for us because
absolutely.
I've wanted to talk to you for a while, and I followed you from afar, so I keep doing what you're doing.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, everyone that I mentioned that I was speaking with you, they're super excited to watch this. So I'm excited.
That's really humbling. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Well, have a great rest of your week. I guess it's almost the weekend for you. So enjoy your weekend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you've seen. I haven't been holding back. So
no.
Shout out to the Weber Kettle Club here in Australia.
Okay, cool. I'll put a link to them too, and I'll put a link out to the farmers and stuff too, just so that way I want people to know about it. And if people from Australia are watching, they can maybe if they don't know where you get your source your meat and everything, they could, it might give them some. I'm gonna have a companion blog piece with this as well.
Great, amazing. Excellent. Anything you need, if you need some photos or accompanying info, let me know.
Cool, I'll shoot you an email. Thank you so much, and
lovely.
Talk, and I'll look forward to meeting you in person someday.
That would be amazing, Kevin. Thank you.
Yes, dude. Take care, Mike.